Welcome back, prayer warriors. I'm so grateful for presiding and leading this important prayer ministry and preaching reflection catechesis ministry here at the Divine Office podcast. Now we're just going to have evening prayer, simple evening prayer, invitatory. Come, let us worship Christ, for he is our God. Psalm 100, joyful song on entering God's temple. Cry out with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him, singing for joy. Know that he, the Lord, is God. He made us. We belong to him. We are his people, the sheep of his flock. Come, let us worship the Lord, for he is our God. Go within his gates, giving thanks. Enter his courts with songs of praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. Indeed, how good is the Lord, eternal his merciful love. He is faithful from age to age. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Come, let us worship the Lord, for he is our God. All right, short, that was our recollection psalm. Eternal Father, through your word, you gave new life to Adam's race, transformed them into sons of light, new creatures by your saving grace. To you who stooped to sinful man, we render homage and all praise. To Father, Son, and Spirit blessed, whose gift to man is endless days. Now the psalmody after the song. Antiphon 1. I cried to you, Lord, and you healed me. I will praise you forever. Psalm 30. Thanksgiving for deliverance from death. Christ, risen in glory, gives continual thanks to his Father, Kisian. So that's our sentence from tradition. Help us pray. I will praise you, Lord. You have rescued me and have not let my enemies rejoice over me. O Lord, I cried to you for help, and you, my God, have healed me. O God, you have raised my soul from the dead, restored me to life from those who sink into the grave. Sing psalms to the Lord, you who love him. Give thanks to his holy name. His anger lasts a moment, his favor through life. At night there are tears, but joy comes with dawn. I said to myself in my good fortune, nothing will ever disturb me. Your favor had set me on a mountain fastness. Then you hid your face and I was put to confusion. To you, Lord, I cried. To my God, I made appeal. What profit would my death be while my growing to the grave? Can dust give you praise or proclaim your truth? The Lord listened and had pity. The Lord came to my help. For me, you have changed my mourning into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy. My soul sings psalms to you unceasingly. O Lord, my God, I will thank you forever. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. So the Cassian quote encourages us to pray it in light of Christ's resurrection, his being raised by the Father. And the fun one, I cried to you, Lord, and you healed me. I will praise you forever. But always, this is a personal prayer too. Always a personal prayer. Antiphon 2. The one who is sinless in the eyes of God is blessed indeed. Happy the man whose offense is forgiven, whose sin is remitted. Oh, happy the man to whom the Lord impugns no guilt, in whose spirit is no guile. I kept it secret, and my frame was wasted. I groaned all the day long. For night and day your hand was heavy upon me. Indeed, my strength was dried up as by the summer's heat. But now I have acknowledged my sins. My guilt I did not hide. I said, I will confess my offense to the Lord, and you, Lord, have forgiven the guilt of my sin. So let every good man pray to you in time of need. The floods of water may reach high, but him they shall not reach. You are my hiding place, O Lord. You save me from distress. You surround me with cries of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you the way you should go. I will give you counsel with my eye upon you. Be not like horse and mule, unintelligent, needing bridle and bit, else they will not approach you. Many sorrows has the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, loving mercy surrounds him. Rejoice, rejoice in the Lord, exalt you just. O come, ring out your joy, all you upright of heart. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. You desired, Lord, Father, to keep us from your indignation, and so you did not spare Jesus Christ, who was wounded for our sins. We are your prodigal children, but confessing our sins, we come back to you. Embrace us that we may rejoice in your mercy together with Christ, your beloved Son. Glory to you. We thank you, Lord. I thank you for your deliverance and help today, for starting me out with some better habits and better human formation. The one who is sinless in the eyes of God is blessed indeed. Antiphon 3 for evening prayer. The Father has given Christ all power, honor, and kingship. All people will obey him. This is a canonical prayer from Revelation 11 and part of 12. The judgment of God. We praise you, the Lord God Almighty, who is and who was. You have assumed your great power. You have begun your reign. The nations have raged in anger, but then came your day of wrath and the moment to judge the dead. The time to reward your servants, the prophets, and the holy ones who revere you, the great and the small alike. Now have salvation and power come, the reign of our God and the authority of his anointed one. For the accuser of our brothers is cast out, who night and day accused them before God. They defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Love for life did not deter them from death. So rejoice, you heavens, and you that dwell therein. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The Father has given Christ all power, honor, and kingship. All people will obey him. So as I often do, we're going to substitute the shorter reading, which was 1 Peter 1, 6 through 9, for a reading from the letter to the Galatians, chapter 4, verses 8 through 31. Our divine inheritance and the freedom of the new covenant. In the past, when you did not acknowledge God, you served as slaves to gods who are not really divine. Now that you have come to know God, or rather, to be known by him, how can you return to those powerless, worthless, elemental, natural elements to which you seem willing to enslave yourselves once more? You even go so far as to keep the ceremonial observance of days and months, seasons and years. I fear for you. All my efforts with you may have been wasted. I beg you, brothers, to become like me as I became like you. Understand, you have done me no wrong. You have not done me any wrong. You are aware that it was a bodily ailment that first occasioned my bringing you the gospel. My physical condition was a challenge which you did not despise or brush aside in disgust. On the contrary, you took me to yourselves as an angel of God. Even if I had been Christ Jesus, even as if I had been Christ Jesus, what has happened to your open-hearted spirit? I can testify on your behalf that if it were possible, you would have plucked out your eyes and given them to me. Have I become your enemy just because I tell you the truth? The people I have referred to are not courting your favor in any generous spirit. What they really want is to exclude you so that you may court their favor. It would be well for you to be courted for the right reasons at all times, and not only when I happen to be with you. You are my children, and you put me back in labor pains until Christ is formed in you. If only I could be with you now and speak to you differently. You have me at a complete loss. You who want to be subject to the law, tell me, do you know what the law has to say? There it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the slave girl and the other by his freeborn wife. The son of the slave girl had been begotten in the course of nature, but the son of the free-born woman, of the free woman, was the fruit of the promise. All this is an allegory. The two women stand for two covenants. One is from Mount Sinai and brought forth children to slavery. This is Hagar. The mountain Sinai, Hagar, is in Arabia and corresponds to the Jerusalem of our time, which is likewise in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem on high is freeborn, and it is she who is our mother. That is why Scripture says, "Rejoice, you barren one who bear no children. Break into song, you stranger to the pains of childbirth. For many are the children of the wife deserted, far more than her who has a husband. You, my brothers, are children of the promise, as Isaac was. But just as in those days the son born in nature's course persecuted the one whose birth was in the realm of the spirit, so do we find it now." What does Scripture say on that point? "Cast out slave girl and son together, for the slave girl's son shall never be an heir on equal with the son of the one born free. Therefore, my brothers, we are not children of a slave girl, but of a mother who is free. It was for liberty that Christ freed us." Responsory prayer. We are like Isaac, children born of the promise, not children born of the slave, but of the free woman. Christ has set us free to be free men. The Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Christ has set us free to be free men. In place of a homily for evening prayer, let us read from St. Augustine's explanation on Paul's letter to the Galatians. So this is going to be about that part about being in pain, labor pain, until Christ is formed in you. The Apostle says, "Be like me, for though born a Jew, by reason of spiritual discernment, I now consider carnal things of small importance." And he adds, "For I am as you are, that is to say, for I, like you, am a man." Then he tactfully reminds them of his love, so that they will not look on him as an enemy. "Brothers, I beseech you," he says, "you did me no wrong," as if to say, "Do not imagine that I want to wrong you," and to have them imitate him as they would a parent. He addresses them as little children. "My little children, with whom I am again in labor until Christ is formed in you." Actually, he here is speaking more in the person of Mother Church than his own. So too, he says elsewhere, "I was gentle among you, like a nurse fondling her little ones." Christ is formed in the believer by faith of the inner man, called to the freedom that grace bestows, meek and gentle, not boasting of non-existent merits, but through grace making some beginning of merit. Hence he can be called my least one by him who says, "Inasmuch as you did it to the least of my brethren, you did it to me." Christ is formed in him who receives Christ's mold, who clings to him in spiritual love. By imitating him, he becomes, as far as possible to his condition, what Christ is. John says, "He who remains in Christ should walk as he did." Children are conceived in order to be formed in their mother's womb, and when they have been so formed, mothers are in travail to give them birth. We can thus understand Paul's words, "With whom I am in labor until Christ be formed in you." By labor we understand his anxiety for those with whom he is in travail, that they be born unto Christ. And he is again in labor when he sees them in danger of being led astray. These anxieties, which can be likened to the pangs of childbirth, will continue until they come to full age in Christ, so as not to be moved by every wind of doctrine. He is not therefore talking about the beginnings of faith by which they were born, but of strong and perfect faith, when he says, "With whom I am again in labor until Christ be formed in you." He also refers elsewhere in different words to his being in labor when he says, "There is daily pressure upon me of my anxiety for all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is made to fall and I am not indignant?" Now let us continue on God has cast down the mighty from their thrones and has lifted up the lowly. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has looked with favor on his lowly servant. From this day, all generations will call me blessed. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. He has mercy on those who fear him in every generation. He has shown the strength of his arm. He has scattered the proud in their conceit. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones and has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has come to the help of his servant Israel, for he has remembered his promise of mercy, the promise he made to our fathers, to Abraham and his children forever. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. God has cast down the mighty from their thrones and has lifted up the lowly. Now turning to our intercessions, we say, our hope is in God who gives us help, or rather that's my part. Let us call upon him and say, so speaking to the audience, I say our responses, look kindly on your children, Lord. Now the first part led by the first choir or the leader, Lord our God, you make an eternal covenant with your people. Keep us ever mindful of your mighty deeds, is the second part. Let your ordained ministers grow toward perfect love and preserve your faithful people in unity by the bond of peace. Be with us in our work of building the earthly city, that in building we may not labor in vain. Send workers into your vineyard and glorify your name among the nations. Welcome into the company of your saints, our relatives and benefactors who have died. May we share their happiness one day. Again, we're praying for the deliverance and healing of Bill from chronic anxiety, worry, all types of different spiritual and physical ailments that he has had for about 18 months. And we're also praying for anyone's personal intentions now. So again, there's the first choir and the second choir in the office. Usually when they came together in a cathedral to pray, there'd be one choir that did the leader parts, usually led by one of the bishops, you know, and then the second choir is the response. So that's where that term comes from. It also can be leader, follower, response, verse, etc. Gathering all of our prayers into one, we say, look kindly on your children, Lord, and gathering our prayers into one, we pray the Lord's own prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Father, you illumine the night and bring the dawn to scattered darkness. Let us pass this night in safety, free from Satan's power, and rise when morning comes to give you thanks and praise. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you, and the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. May the Lord bless us, protect us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life. Amen. So as you can see, that was a beautiful, rich, with the office of readings and evening prayer. Hope you have a great, blessed, peaceful, joyful rest of your night.